right, grab your notes, and I'm going to switch into fourth gear right now, all right, for about 5-10 minutes, okay? That's okay. I've got the throttle wide open. There we go. Okay, so we're on the backside of the notes, Book of Revelation. Remember last week we looked at the core, the center, the characters that are involved in the Book of Revelation. Revelation is revealing Christ to us. Yes, it has much to do with the end times, but first and foremost, it tells us about our wonderful Savior and Lord and who He is and how He will conclude human history. So now I want to take the time. We're in the outline there. Remember that kind of unique structure? We want to talk about, we're just going to walk down now through from top to bottom. So letter A, the king and his troops. This is chapter 1 through 4 of the book of Revelation. Now let's remind ourselves. So chapter 1 really is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's walking among the candlesticks gloriously. It looks like fire, like burnished brass, a white robe, all those things. So it's a glorious, amazing picture. And then in chapters 2 and 3, we have Christ's direct letters to the seven churches. Now this is, again, one of the joys that of this outline of this book is it helps us see how the church age connects with the nation of Israel. So who's the king? Jesus Christ. He's revealed in chapter 1. But who are his troops? Well, we are. The church age saints. So there's direct implication for you and I to read through the book of Revelation. We do know at the end of the book, blessed are those who read this book that don't add to it or take away from it. Now we need to live it out in our life. There's something of value for this book for our lives today. Much of that value lies in our understanding of who our Savior is. It is the fulfillment in some ways, if I can put it this way, of the memory verses we're working on. That God will, Christ will, at the end of the day, be victorious. He is the judge. So, but we get to be a part of that. We're a part of his troops, and he wants us to be prepared and ready. His words of challenge and exhortation to those seven churches are strong and powerful. I may one time again go back through those. That was the very first series of sermons I preached here when I came here 7.5 years ago, Sunday morning sermon, walking through each of those, and those are powerful. That's for us today. Every one of those churches has application for you and I to live out today in our own lives, all right? So we are to be faithful, godly troops that are following and obey him. Let us not be removed. Let our candle not be put out. Let us be found faithful in the troop work that God has called us to do even this day in sharing the light of the gospel around the world and being faithful to his truth. Now, almost every one of these sections has a parenthesis. Can you see that under letter A here? So we really have an exaltation of Christ seen in his glory and description there in chapter 4 again. He was introduced in chapter 1 to John directly. We see him in his glory walking among the candlesticks. But in chapter 4, we see specifically the king sitting on his throne. And remember, in light of the outline of I will tell you the things that have been, and the things that are, and the things that shall be. Chapter 4 begins the section of the things that shall be. But as we see it in this chiastic outline, this is again another picture of the king in his great glory, but it also demonstrates that he's the lamb slain for us, offering salvation to the world if we would really just come in faith. But he will sit on the throne, so the lamb, the redeemer, is the king as well who will judge, all in the same person. It's a glorious throne scene, singing praises to the Lord. This goes along again with even what we talked about Sunday morning, that music is a critical part of our worship. It's not a side part of our worship, that we need to be experts in godly, good music that would bring praise to God's name. Okay, letter B, and then this is where we'll stop for the night after I get done with letter B. We have the beginning of the war, and this is detailed in the book of Revelation with the seven seal judgments. So at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, who can open this book? And they proclaim that the lamb slain can open the book. And he comes and begins to open the seals of what appears to be the book of judgments, God's wrath. All right? And every one of those seals, as you can see in chapters 5 through chapter 8, essentially, deal with a form of judgment. Now, Let me help you place this chronologically. If we understand the book of Daniel with the book of Revelation together and some of the comments even in the New Testament and Ezekiel, the beginning of the war, the seven seals, and as well coordinated with Matthew 24 and 25, all right, deal with God's wrath in the first, essentially, 3.5 years of the tribulation. Trumpet campaign and the bowl campaign, the letter C and C1 on our notes. The trumpet campaign appears to take place right around the midpoint of the tribulation when the Antichrist is revealed and becomes the world ruler. That happens at midpoint. Most of those trumpet judgments take place rather rapidly, it appears, right then. And then the bowl judgments, or what would be called in our King James, the vials, all right? They're not vile as in grotesque. Oh, they are pretty powerful. But it's not V-I-L-E, it's V-I-A-L, all right? Bowls, all right? That's why I call them bowls here. The bowl judgments then are poured out on the earth, and that's a period of God's great wrath, as well its wrath on the children of Israel. They will be facing great persecution in those last 3.5 years and experiencing some of God's wrath as well. They can be redeemed, all right? They're still being saved, but I want you to kind of see how that fits in. So letter B, back here to the seven seals, that is really the first, basically, 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, the parenthesis, where John stops and gives a little bit of commentary, is in chapter 17, the beginning part of the chapter there, and he's talking about the 144,000. So now we have, and notice how we describe it, the king's tribulation troops. Now, the troops that are introduced in chapters 2 and 3, are we a part of the tribulation? No. Church age saints have been caught up. We're gone, all right? We're in heaven. But the king still needs troops to proclaim his name, all right? We don't fight a war with a physical sword. We fight it with the sword of the Word of God. And so he has 12,000 from each tribe that are specifically ordained, can I put it that way, chosen to be his witnesses to the world, the 144,000 from the children of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe. Just a little side note, all the tribes are listed except Dan. Why? I don't know. Okay, just so you know, all right? I don't think that there's ever been any good explanation. Exactly, some have surmised, well, Dan was kind of consumed up, whether in Judah or one of the other northern tribes. Dan was the tribe that left its inheritance. But God doesn't tell us why, okay? So there's, remember in the nation of Israel, when they received their land, what tribe didn't receive any land? The Levites. Remember, the Lord was their inheritance. They received the tithes and so forth. They were given certain cities to live in, but they didn't have like a region that was theirs. Well, there's 12,000 Levites that are witnesses. So I don't know. God will answer that question for us if we're concerned later on, okay? Just so you know, that list doesn't include Dan, and I don't know why, but there's 144,000, and we would generally say from the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Now, those 12 tribes, we have the tribe of Joseph split, Ephraim and Manasseh. Just so you understand there. So that is split. You said, well, could one of those have taken in Dan? Maybe so. I don't know. All right. Okay. So those are the king's tribulation troops on earth during the tribulation. My guess is, and that's a key word, my guess is that they are saved early on. In the early part of the tribulation, a number of the children of Israel seem to come back to the Lord. And these, we find out from a further description, these 144,000 appear to be virgins. They're men that never marry. They are solely given to the Lord, which would coordinate with 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're not married, your whole life can be given to the Lord's work. And they have a short time to serve the Lord. They are focused wholly on their ministry of proclaiming the truth about Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. All right? So, anyways, that's them. They're working on earth. God protects them. Defends them. There is some indication that they may not be the martyrs. Others that get saved through their ministry are the multitude of martyrs. But they are mentioned again, the 144,000, and that appears, and that's later, it seems, in the tribulation period, that they're still there. we don't know for sure at the end, so they could very well be a part of the martyrs as well at the end of the tribulation. Okay, so we'll stop there for tonight, and then I'll touch again on C and C1 and B1 and A1, all right? And of course, D again was our focus point. We are part of the we're part of the troops. Be found faithful now. Chapters 2 and 3 are the now. Let's live out those truths. I'd encourage you maybe to stop. It won't take you, but probably at the most 10 minutes just to read through those two chapters and be challenged to be godly troops for the King in this present age. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the time together in your word again, and make this profitable for us. Thank you that you've chosen us to be a part of your troops, that we'll be able to fight with you, actually really spectate. But we do fight today with the sword of the Spirit, redeeming people from the entrapment of sin and Satan and hell. Lord, help us to be found faithful, bearing the sword, proclaiming truth to the world that is so desperately in need of it, rescuing people from the wrong side, from the enemy. In your name, amen. Trust you have a good rest of the week. We'll see some of you on Saturday, the rest, Lord willing, on Sunday.